This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 679 with guest Marv B, recorded on May 14th, 2026. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska. Spring is here. It's been like, Marv, it's been like 70s in the afternoon, 40s and 50s at night. Not so much in Florida, right? You got the air on already?
Already? It's been on since February.
So how do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, how?
It's just the way it is. We turn it off for 2 weeks. You know?
Christmas and New Year's, right? Turn it off for Christmas and New
Year's. Well, the last week in January and the first week of February is usually, you know, no need for the AC.
I hate heat and I hate bugs. I'm never moving to Florida. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, okay. I did spend some time in cool weather. I was in Minnesota.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just came up for a little conference.
Yeah. Did you have a jacket? Do you have like one of those big poofy jackets that had down feathers in it?
No, I wasn't that bad. But I did bring hoodies for all 3 days.
Nice. And they were probably in shorts, right? There. A couple of them were.
Yeah. Short sleeves.
Yeah.
But it was cold the first night. It was like 45 or something.
It's chilly. Yeah. It gets chilly up north. Well, anyways, we post a show with some real cost show notes. We'll have a few of them out there out at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers, the faithful folks every single month that you do that. You can join that group for 1 month if you want, or as many as you want if you want to stay around. Theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. One plan, it's $5. Easy to do. Appreciate you guys that do that as well. And then if you're going to use Amazon affiliate links, or if you're going to use Amazon, we've got an Amazon affiliate link on the front page. Just go to theaverageguy.tv, click through it, costs you nothing, benefits the network. Appreciate all that you do when you do those things as well. Marv B is here with us, itbusinesspodcast.com. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Is that good? Marv, he's Uncle Marv over there, right? Is that
you do? Yep. Actually, on that podcast, are you Uncle Marv? Actually, I've set up UncleMarv.com for all my podcasts.
Really?
Yes.
Nice. How did you get that? Did you have to pay boot?
So what's funny is I actually bought that like 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, never thinking I would do anything with it. I just wanted to have, you know, Marvin at UncleMarv.com, but I never used it. And when I rebranded the podcast, technically it's Uncle Marv's IT Business Podcast.
Okay.
And then I have Uncle Marv's Unhealthy Podcast. I'm like, I'll just start putting up an Uncle Marv page. And so that's what I did. But
have you thought of Uncle Marv's whiskey podcast yet? That you could have me on and we could.
That would be awesome. I have not.
No. It's right. We're past all that. Like the millennials, they're all going healthy. No drinking, no other things.
What's funny is the Unhealthy Podcast. I am getting so many guest requests for, you know, all of the alternative, holistic, functional, practitioners and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, all the people, the coaches to help you, you know, cut out sugar and process food. So
we go through these cycles, right? Where we get super unhealthy for a while and then everybody gets healthy again. And then Krispy Kreme comes back. like, donuts, right? Here in Nebraska, we kind of shunned Krispy Kreme, but man, when Dunkin' Donuts came to town, we were all about Dunkin'. And so I don't know, poor Krispy Kreme, they got just wiped off the map.
Oh no, we got a store here and it is packed all the time.
Krispy Kreme or Dunkin'?
Krispy Kreme.
Okay.
Yeah, I got Dunkin' right down the street.
Oh yeah, yeah. Such good stuff. Well, welcome back, Marv. Good to have you and good to have you here. Hey, let's dig into some tech talk topics on Ask the Podcast Coach. I've been spending a lot of time. That's the Saturday morning podcast that I do about podcasting. So if you want to join me out there, askthepodcastcoach.com/live on Saturday mornings. But we've been talking a lot about OpenClaw. And so that's just been a topic, an AI topic. I think the AI space is getting pretty mature from a business standpoint. A lot of businesses have embraced it. A lot of them are moving to, you know, like we have an AI support bot that you can go to and type stuff in and it comes back. You had an experience recently, maybe not so favorable when it came to getting using AI. Talk a little bit about that.
So just to be, you know, clear on some stuff, our space, the managed services space, is all about AI. How do we build it into our own practices, and how do we find a way to not only put guardrails on it for our customers, but how do we sell AI to them? And of course, if you go into your M365 tenant, there's like 180 plus agents in there ready for you to use and all of that stuff. You just have to turn them on. But I was looking for a hosted platform for one of my clients. I don't have any clients with servers hosted in the air. We're all on-prem. But this one client has an application that they want hosted. They don't want it here at my office in case a hurricane comes or whatever. They want to be fully in the cloud. I'm not going to go to AWS. So I found a company and I went on their site, looked them up, checked their pricing, did all that, reached out, signed up to be an MSP with them. Got an appointment and a Zoom meeting set up. I get on that, and literally 2 minutes into the call, he's like, yeah, I really deal with enterprise customers, so I need to redirect you to some resources and stuff. So he sent me two links. One was to the pricing page, which I had already seen. Yeah. And the second was to a virtual agent. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't need a virtual agent. Yeah. The virtual agent can't answer the questions that I want answered. And it just struck me.
Did you try though? Did you try talking to the virtual? Okay. Yeah. And it wasn't, how did you know it wasn't going to be able to answer your questions? I mean, like what kind of things were you giving it?
So it did try to say, you know, what is it you would like to do?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I want to set up a virtual server for users, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Which platform would you like to use? And you know, so I went through a couple of those, and then I was like, okay, I need recommendations on performance with these things. And I had my criteria in term, and all they said was, well, you can try this. And if that doesn't work, you can then try this. I'm like, I don't want to go through all those steps. So it's like, I want to get to somebody that's actually experienced. So I don't, it's the same thing as when we had all of the, you know, the prompts for the telephone, press one for sales, press two. And you're like, I just want to talk to somebody.
Say and, one. If you would like to do this, say one, one. If you would like to do this and you're like, one.
You're so it just was so frustrating. Experience. No, because it just, for people who are techs, I think we're going to experience a lot of the same frustrations that an end user faces when we put, you know, chatbots on our website, where we know all of the stuff we can do on our own. It's when we can't do it that we want to just get to somebody, and going through the whole process of a virtual agent. And my fear is that I already know some MSPs that are trying to do that, where they don't want to talk to people. They just want to have everything automated, everything go through an agent. And I'm like, we've got to make sure we're ready for that.
I have a lot of good experience with ChatGPT and Claude speaking to them. You know, every night driving home, and actually now I like it so much, I'm starting to do it more in the mornings. Like before I go in, I'm like, hey, I want to talk about this thing. And lately it's been a lot of OpenClaw stuff. So I've been asking it questions about it and thinking about routing methods and compression and some of those kinds of things. But do you think that chatbot that you got, do you think that was an older version that wasn't very good? Do you think, I mean, some of the commercial stuff that we're using, man, I tell you what, it's kind of hard to tell. You know?
So, I mean, if you set it up right and you've put all the work and effort into it, I just think this company hasn't yet, you know, because they're probably used to a certain type of person coming in and being okay with, okay, I'll try that. as opposed to somebody like me who's like, no, I've already researched enough and let me go forward. I think when it becomes a little more interactive, maybe, or it can start to do reasoning. I think that's where the flaw for that particular one happened. And I think that probably in the last, 3 to 4 months, there has been an exponential jump in chat, bots being able to reason.
Yeah. Yeah. It reasoned very well. It's crazy how good they are. You think it'd be a different experience if you had a personal, for that organization, if you had your own personal agent that remembered conversations that you'd had with it, that was kind of loaded up. I mean, let's just say it could talk the business and then remembered the conversations it had with you and could have that kind of dialogue that we're having with ChatGPT or that we're having with Claude these days. Does that change it a little bit for you if it's a support agent that remembers?
Well, it certainly would. I mean, just like you're doing with your testing of chat, I'm using Perplexity. And I've got the enterprise version, so I've got things segmented where it remembers. There have been a couple of times where it didn't remember quite the way that I would like it to, but it's, it's a little bit human. It's like, it's like, okay, yeah, I remember that conversation. We talked about, I'm like, no, you said this. So much, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then but you're right. If it were a little more interactive and a little more, if they could silo it per user.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's awesome. What I was thinking. I actually think at Gallup, the way we do Clifton Strengths and stuff, this would be a perfect example of everyone gets their own individual instance. It would be super expensive to do, right? You'd have to pay $1 million. Not really, but it'd be super expensive to do. But yeah, I mean, just think of, a .md file that's keeping some context in the background. So it's got, as it's gathering information about you, it's writing these to a few files that's getting, hey, last time you called in, you talked about this. And if it said to you, hey, Uncle Marv, because that's what it knows what you like to be, the name you like to go by.
Yeah.
Hey, Uncle Marv, last time we talked about this, how did that go? Like, could you fill me in on that? That'd be a kind of a different experience, right?
It would. And it would be cool because, listen, they're already grabbing stuff. There's already cookies from your web sessions that, it can refer back to. It's like, hey, you looked at the 4 CPU unit with 16 gigs of RAM. I noticed the performance was sluggish in the background. Maybe you want to spin that up to 6 cores or something. Those types of things would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. This work on OpenClaw that I've been doing has gotten me thinking a lot about a lot of different ways of deploying this in a way not so invasive. Early on, it kind of got a reputation of being like, yeah, it runs out of control. It'll do things and then just take over. But it's got some configurability in it where I was, kind of thinking like, maybe a client that sits on top of a managed service and it's reporting back in more than just a status, but kind of a status with some context, so to speak, to use that word, right? And almost, I think this is probably where in your industry you're moving towards, where the managed services are going to have AIs on top of them that are then reporting back to you, or it's filling a dashboard in by customer, or it's dynamically alerting you to problems on the user side, right? I mean, do you think so?
So they've started doing that. Now, I'm a little on the less proactive side with that. I'm letting the vendors add all of the AI into it. Yeah. There is a segment of users that are trying to do it themselves to not use the vendors.
Sure.
I mean, one perfect example would be ticketing or gathering time. For instance, I know that I don't use a ticketing system, but I've already developed a prompt that'll go in every day and say, hey, find everything in my email and in my call logs that could be considered billable time, format it into a time entry for me so that I can put it into QuickBooks. Now, that's as far as I've gotten, because the next step would be obviously we'll just have it automatically put it in there for me. But I'm not there yet because I'm still reviewing it and stuff. All of the products that we use, the network monitoring tools, they are setting stuff up to where when an alert comes in, they're trying to make it to where they're doing level 1 tech support without getting to a level one tech. And then they're triaging, they're doing all that stuff, and then trying to dispatch it to the right person.
Yeah.
So all that stuff's already in the works. The next stuff is going to be some of the consolidation with the integrated tools, the billing, the tools that we talk to each other. We already have some redundancies where some tools, you know, are overlapping. We're looking at AI to say, okay, how can I remove this redundancy and all of that stuff? So that's all. I think in another year, you're going to see a huge disruption in our space.
Yeah, it's coming fast. Well, and that, you know, you think about the level one stuff is gone for the most part. Like, we're going to find ways to automate that stuff away on both ends, right?
Yeah.
I think the real interesting next step, I mean, there's a whole bunch of them, but the real interesting next step is getting the AIs talking to the AIs, right? So I have an AI agent on my end, and it's talking to the AI agent on your end. I'm sure this is happening. It's not like I invented this tonight, but I think for the average guy, for the average consumer, you know, I might have a household, I might have an AI in my house that's managing all of my services here. And when I want to connect it to my power company so they can do what they do to monitor my power or whatever, they connect to my service, my API, right? I give them an API key and say, okay, you can manage, you know, I'll expose my services to you through an API key. I think we're coming to that at some point.
Yeah, I think we are.
You know, get your own personal API. Like, or whatever. MCP is another word I'm hearing thrown around a lot for this. And they're like, you know, it's like, oh, MCP is the next hipster term, or, you know, around this area. You know, Tony in chat says, next thing you know, we'll be checking ourselves out of stores and ordering our food at kiosks. Already done.
Tony. Already done. No. I did that. Actually, I did that yesterday flying back. You know, I got to my gate and walking, you know, the corridor to get to the gate, and then I turned to go to my to sit down. I'm walking through the middle of the store. You know, it's no longer in a separate section. It's just right out in the open.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, and there's four self-checkouts. There's no person there. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, who's going to walk away?
Yeah.
But they had cameras and stuff, so I'm sure there was somebody watching cameras.
Oh,
but
yeah, for sure.
Everybody was checking themselves out.
Yeah, no, for sure. We're there today. It's no doubt. Yeah. I like it. To be honest with you, I'm a big fan of it, and I like where we're headed. I know a lot of folks are like, you know, but I'm kind of all in on this. I do like the direction we're headed. I kind of, you know, just some of the things that it's able to do, some of the conversations I'm able to have with it. And people are like, are you going to stop talking to people? I'm like, no, but I have this, for me, this tech friend that can speak as sophisticated or as dumb as I wanted to. Never judges me for my tech opinions. I can have these conversations with it. I think it's making me a little bit smarter. I mean, my brain has been on more in the last 8 weeks working on some of these things than.
But of course, there's the abuse side of it. I mean, there's, you know, every week there's a story, you know, of somebody getting caught, you know, doing the banana thing at the store where they're scanning the wrong thing. Yeah. You know, they'll scan a banana for a $300 monitor.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Getting a piece of fruit that's the same weight. And is that what you're talking about? Is they scan the banana, but then put the monitor on the scale? Yeah.
Or not even on the scale. They just leave it in the cart because it's, you know, too big or whatever. But what they try to do is make it look like they're scanning the TV, but instead they're scanning the banana.
Tony says, also says in chat, he says, and the best part about is when Walmart asks you to rate the experience at the self-checkout. How was that person that checked you out at the self-checkout? Yeah.
As long as it doesn't ask for a tip.
For sure. That's a trend. That's a crazy trend too, here in the United States anyways. I've thought more in the last 8 weeks about AI orchestrations than I have in my lifetime. And just thinking about like, how do we, you know, there's 1,000 models. They're all doing different things. Like we're at a spot where now the model, choosing a model is confusing. Like, what should I be using? How does this work? You know what? And so I'm using AI to help me do model choices. I'm modeling, I'm testing and modeling models based on my usage to be like, hey, if I was going to do local AI, what's the best model for me? If I'm going to do cloud-based AI, what's the best model for me? Well, the way to know that is to test it with putting in stuff you do and then have it, you know, have it monitor the prompts and see what it does and see what comes back and monitor all that stuff. AI is really good at that piece. So I don't know. I think this is for me, I kind of like finally, you know, I know a lot of people are pushing back on this. I'm kind of like, finally, we're at a spot. This is cool. We're doing some cool stuff. You know, so cool. Anything else on that, on that experience, Marv?
No, I'm good. I'm AI talked out.
Right on. Yeah. We won't tell you what, we won't talk. I can't promise that.
No, you don't even try
for the rest of the show. We'll try not to talk about AI. Hey, you had mentioned, and I hadn't thought about this in 1,000 years. We bought a new one of these too, but you're in the market, or are you thinking about TV soundbars? Like, how often? Talk a little bit about that.
So I haven't bought a soundbar in a few years. When we moved, well, I shouldn't say when we moved, the last major TV purchase that we got a soundbar, and it was fantastic. So now every time we get a new TV, we get a new soundbar just because, you know, whatever. So we've had this TV now going on 10 years. Not 10 years. 6 or 7 years, and it's a 65 inch. It's pretty big, but the Bose soundbar that we got with it is starting to go in and out. And so it's like, all right, but the last time we bought a Bose soundbar before that, it was like $1,000.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, okay, the one we got just this last time, for all of my other TVs, I've been getting the Roku with the built-in soundbar, which has been pretty cool. It's about $100.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, I need something more robust. I don't need the Roku bar. So I was looking at, there is a Bose TV speaker for $259. And then there's this Bose Smart Dolby Atmos soundbar for $499. And I'm like, okay, I need to talk to some people and see if anybody's actually purchased a sound bar recently, because in my office there's a TV in the front area where Kim sits, and I turned it on and the sound was horrible. It's like the TV sound, like, well, I gotta get a sound bar for that. So now I'm thinking, I may need 2 sound bars. And I like the Bose. Every time I've gotten some others, Bose just has a deep, rich sound to it.
Yeah. No, it's a good product. They do a great, although I wonder at times, you know, I've got their, I forget the name of it now, but their outdoor or their portable speaker.
The SoundLinks.
SoundLink, I think. Yeah. What it is. Weighted very well, feels heavy. It's got some good, that thing sounds great, right? We take it outside and put it on the deck. I use that as the sound bar for the TV when we're outside, right? Also take it with me to work when we're running stairs, you know, and you put it at the bottom of the stairwell and sound goes up the stairwell, which is pretty nice. I think you're always safe on the Bose side of things. We just bought, funny you asked. So we didn't buy a new TV, but Sarah was tired. I had bought one of those, what would be a brand from like 10 years ago, soundbar, sound, like super cheap.
Like Vizio?
Yeah, like Vizio, but worse. Like PNY, if you think about memory, right? Or whatever. Anyways, it hummed the whole time for like 10 years. It was you turn it on, you know, just, I can't believe she put up with it. We just bought a Samsung soundbar for that. She did a whole bunch of research that it's the HW, and give you a bunch of numbers, but it's the HWB750D. HWB750D. And it's got Dolby Atmos and surround sound. Oh, it's got Dolby. I'm sorry, not Atmos, but Dolby Audio surround sound. bass boost, adaptive sound. $315 right now. It's in that price range. It's worked really well for us.
There's a 750F with the woofer.
Yeah, there you go. You can that, I think that's not another, I mean, I think that's another company. If you go Samsung, that's been another one. Pretty good. We've liked it. It's loud. I've heard it in here through the walls as she's cranked it up from time to time. Fairly easy setup, mounted really easily. I don't know. What do you think about a Samsung going that direction? Something like that.
I wasn't sure. So I always get Samsung TVs.
Yeah.
And they're basically compatible with everything. So the Samsung and Bose was what we had gotten. I didn't know Samsung made the soundbars. We were looking at, what was it, LQ. And you know Amazon makes soundbars?
I know. They make everything. It's all just white labeled, right? Right. I mean, it's white labeled something else, right, from that perspective. But yeah, and you think, from a price perspective, like, you know, the last soundbar I bought was like 10 years ago. So it was like $99. And I thought it was expensive. You know, you're like $99 for a speaker. Today, you know, we dropped $315. I think we got it a little cheaper than this. But the price history on that one, let's look. Just the prices have been so crazy lately. You can't.
Stuff. I mean, even Samsung, there's a one for $399, HWQ600F.
That one that we bought, it's $315 now. It has been as cheap as $250, and we might have gotten it for $250 back in the day. We bought it last year. Yeah, we repainted. Sarah repainted that room, and then she was like, "We're going to get a new soundbar," and it's been great. It's got a sub. With it. That I forget what they 2.1 or whatever they call that, where you have a sound bar and that. So there's an option for you. It's hard to go wrong with Bose though, right? I mean, they're still, you'd think they'd rest on their laurels, so to speak, right? But gosh, they still
they make have great
stuff. Yeah.
So the caveat that I didn't say to you is my wife, she wanted the surround sound.
Mm, okay.
So she wanted wanted the speakers behind us on the couch.
Yeah, right on.
And the last two times I'm like, we don't need that. These speakers, the Bose was, you know, good enough. And it was, it would do a very good job of, if sound was coming from a movie on the right side, it would actually sound like it's the right side. So it does a pretty good job, but she really wants that surround sound. So that's what I'm toying with, because I don't think you can do wireless surround sound. And I don't really want to go through the hassle of running wires.
I understand. No, I understand. It's a whole new world, and you're pushing them to the back of the room, and right. What are you using for the input for the TV? Is it just the TV, the tuner on the TV? Is everything coming off the TV, or do you have a separate tuner?
No, it's so got the, it's a, so ours has that little, it's got that special cable that plugs into the back, because we got the HDMI and then that special, it looks like a
the square
five-sided, the thing with air, and it's the special cable for that. So that's what we're using.
What they call that. Okay.
Wish I could remember what it was.
Yeah. Running wires, like for anything anymore, you know, even like network cables around the house, you know, you're kind of like, I don't know. Like, you know, you get something new and you're like, you know, we all used to run, we chase cables around the house and put them in various rooms so that everybody had, you know, everybody was cabled in. Wi-Fi's gotten good enough. It's still not great, just to be honest.
Right.
Wi-Fi is still kind of crappy.
Yeah.
Just to be honest. Like, even the 7 stuff is like.
Well, because the 7 doesn't have the range as 6.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go through, all of our stuff is concrete, you know, wall construction. So right. I have to consider that. So I've actually stayed with my Ruckus. 6 stuff because I can't, the Ruckus 7 stuff isn't as powerful. So the optical, that little optical cable, is what I use to plug in.
Joe says, out in chat, he says Sonos, but that's a whole nother can of worms. Have you looked at Sonos at all? I've never looked at Sonos. Yeah. Why? Just the price?
For some reason, I always considered Sonos as the hi-fi.
Snooty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you kind of had to run cables to do it right.
Right. Yeah. And you'd spend a lot of money that you didn't need to spend. That's how I always saw Sonos. Yeah. I was like, yeah, it's just unnecessary spending. Bose was that way for a while too. You know, you're always paying top dollar for Bose. I'm not saying it's not the same way now, but everybody's kind of caught up to Bose.
Well, yeah. And that's the only reason I'm considering it, because we did go through a period where, Bose, Dyson, I mean, it was always, you know, everybody says, oh, we're just as good as Dyson. You know what? I'm buying a Dyson.
Oh, I love that. I love that mindset. Like, we're just as good. And you're like, yeah, and that's the one I'm going to buy. Thanks.
And that's what I would do. But I don't hear that as much with the Bose.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was just wondering, you know, has the playing field leveled?
Yeah. Christian out in chat. Christian Johnson's hanging out with us tonight. He said surround sound, 3D sound bars in the bedroom and hanging from the ceiling.
Really?
I don't know what's going on here. Yeah. Subwoofer under the bed. So maybe he's thinking about the TV that's in your bedroom, right? That, because a lot of folks put now a TV at the end of the bed, right? They're watching TV while they're getting ready to go to bed. And, you know, you could, you know, sub under the bed, and then the speaker's up.
We don't need a sub under the bed. We don't need Barry White that much.
that Samsung stuff we bought has got the wireless sub, and we actually find that to work out really, really,
really?
Well.
Okay.
We're a soundbar sub family. That room is pretty narrow. You know, the couch sits right up against the wall, and it's the right distance from the TV. It just worked out that way. We have a 40-inch Samsung TV. Super dumb. Super dumb. I bought it. It was the year before all the smart TVs came out, which I'm kind of glad, because we just add things to it instead of like trying to make the TV do things.
Right,
just,
right.
Right? It's HDMI in it. So it's not bad. It's like a monitor TV, you know, from that standpoint.
Yeah.
You just plug stuff into it. But yeah, that's actually worked out pretty well for us. I think that's been a good purchase. Just another option for you as you're looking. Samsung seems to be doing pretty well in that space. So
consider that.
Yeah, check it out. Let's talk about, you got a new Ring, not Ring doorbell, but a new health device. What do you got there? Talk about it.
I got this is my wedding band.
With that?
Well, like? Yes, because I never wore my wedding ring. Because I lost 3 previous wedding rings.
Oh, yikes. Marv, we need to talk.
And she's already commented that you haven't lost that yet. So So this is a ring con.
And a lot and cheaper than a wedding ring, by the way.
Yes. Well, my last one was really cheap because she's like, if you're going to lose it, we're buying a cheap one. That's why you're losing
them. Maybe you should buy a more expensive ring.
I lost the expensive one. We started, she started coming down in price, saying, if you're going to keep losing it, we're not spending that much money.
Would you take it off because of the work that you're doing? So you wouldn't get
from work. I would take it off to shower. I would take it off to sleep. I just don't wear stuff. I don't have jewelry. I've never liked jewelry. I don't wear a watch. So it was always something where I couldn't. Whatever. So I got this Ringcon, and it's spelled RINGCONN. And as part of my unhealthy podcast, I had people, you know, always saying, you got to get an Aura. You got to get an Aura, you know, or a Fitbit. I'm like, I'm not getting a Fitbit because I'm not going to wear a watch. So I did some research, and I came across Ringcon, and basically it's Aura Lite, where it does almost the same amount of stuff as Aura, but it does not have a subscription.
Yeah.
And that's what made me choose it.
That Aura subscription's gotten kind of expensive, right? Yeah. I mean, it's every year, is it $100 or is it $200 now for the...
They have a monthly option now, and it was, even the monthly, I was like 19 a month or something.
Yeah. So it's $200 a year.
Yeah.
Right? If it goes to work out for health data. It's health data, yeah. You know, what have you, so how long have you had it?
So I've had it about 2 months now.
Okay.
And it does come with an app on the phone, and it literally monitors a whole bunch of stuff. And this will be an upcoming episode on my unhealthy show where we'll talk about, you know, tech and health, and Ringtone will be one of the topics. And the best thing, at least that I've come across, is it does a much better job of monitoring my sleep.
Oh.
Because my wife has always been concerned that I have some sleep issues.
Are you snoring at night? Is that the deal?
Yeah. And well, she,
we do.
The snoring doesn't bother her. It's, she'll wake up and she'll be like, you stopped breathing.
Okay.
Yeah. So this has started to give me a little bit of insight to where my oxygen level gets below where it should be several times a night. Mm-hmm. And it says it's not critical, but it's enough to look into. And one of the ladies that I had on the show recently, she's like, yeah, you might want to get that checked out. That sounds like some sleep apnea.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
sleep apnea is one of the most underdiagnosed things in our society.
Yes, for sure. Well, guys don't want to do anything about it. They know they have it. This guy, right? I know I got it. And I'm like, why am I so tired in the afternoons? Well, part of it's because I'm old. Part of it's because I don't eat right. But I'm sure some of it's because I'm not sleeping. Although dreaming and remembering your dreams is a good sign of healthy REM sleep. And since, I don't know, last couple of years, I went through some sleep therapy where I really worked on my breathing and I worked on some things around my sleep, around it, you know, getting my jaw in the right position and some of those kinds of things. And man, I've been dreaming like crazy. So yeah. I'm like, well, okay. What's for you? So has the data from it given you, so it's a one-time purchase. It's going to your phone. I'm sure it's a Bluetooth connection of some kind.
Yep.
Do you shower with it? And you don't.
So I do take it off. I do take it off when I shower.
Okay.
I've gotten comfortable enough to sleep with it, but I have still found myself during the day where I'm like fidgeting and stuff, and my wife's like, "Stop it."
Yeah.
But it's been on, and it gives a whole bunch of information. So it, of course, it tracks steps. So here is, you know, today it gives you like a little clover leaf of all your stats for activity, stress, sleep, and all of that. So, that's my day so far. The yellow is the sleep because I took a nap.
Has it changed behavior yet? Are you to a spot where, or are you just tracking?
I'm just tracking.
Okay.
But it is something where I will start to do, obviously I'm going to do some checking on the sleep apnea.
Yeah.
And it, now I'm allowing it to give me little reminders. For instance, the plane ride from, you know, Fort Lauderdale to Minneapolis is 3 hours and 40 minutes. And it did pop up a little sedentary alert. Like, you might want to get up.
Hey, could you get ready? Like, I'm flying. Like, don't judge me. Yeah.
But it, I mean, the stress was something I was kind of interested in that I never thought about, where it actually is checking stress levels. And it gives a ratio from relaxed, normal, medium, and high. So today I had a 3% stress ratio. That was high.
It's like, hopefully right now it's low. I'm hoping that while you're on Home Gadget Geek's low.
No, right now it's good.
Okay.
But it was probably during one of my tech events where I was stressing over something. There's a couple of times where it's been weird, where it's in the middle of the night at like 2 a.m. I'll wake up to an alert that says, hey, you're stressed. You might want to, you know, take it easy. And I'm like, I was sleeping.
Well, maybe you were tossing and turning, or maybe your heart rate was up, or maybe you weren't sleeping as well. Or does any haptic responses?
Hold on. I don't know if you can see that. That's my stress summary.
Hold on. We'll get you full screen here.
So it actually will give you throughout the day. So I started out high and it's been getting lower throughout the day.
So you woke up stressed and then you've been getting less stressed as the day. That's because you're on the show tonight. Like, how great is that?
Well,
like,
you wake up start knowing selling
the show that way.
You wake up knowing that there's a whole bunch of work to be done.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Going through the emails and stuff. And then as those things get, you know, clicked off the list, all right, that's done. So it's been pretty cool.
The friends that I work with have went through an aura phase and they tried to talk me into the aura. They're like, you need to get the aura so we can talk to you about the various things that they talk about. If I got the aura, this Rincon, this is interesting because I probably need to get something like this too. And I would wear it on my right hand instead of my left. I do keep my wedding ring all the time. I've had it for a long time. I don't lose it because I don't ever take it off. And so it stays on, but it would be a right hand for me. It'd be a right hand ring that I would put on, but it would be good. I mean, for a while I thought about getting a Fitbit that I put on at night as just a band. I don't like to wear, the Apple Watch is so bulky, right? It lights up at night. I know there's some things you can do to turn that off and some of those other things, but I didn't like it on my wrist.
Another reason that I got discouraged against the Fitbit is they said you really need to have it tight.
Yeah,
really monitor stuff. Right. And I'm like, okay, well, too tight is going to be uncomfortable
for sure. Yeah, no, I'd be taking it off. I don't like. I'm already at a spot down here where around 8 o'clock, I'm like, this watch is coming off. Like I don't, I'm down here typing, I'm doing stuff, I'm working on stuff. And the weight of it and the tightness of it. And I swell up a little bit at night, you know how you just kind of swell up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this watch has got to go. The charger is down here. So I just take it off and throw it on the charger. I leave it down here all night. It's not up. I don't have a nightstand. I don't want lights in where I sleep. This is one of the sleep things that I did is we made sure that the shade comes all the way down when I need it to, and the curtains close all the way, so it's absolutely black in there, right? Yep. And then I don't have a bunch of lights. I have an Amazon Alexa up on my armoire, but it's hidden, like it's back in the back. I can't see it when I'm in bed, so it's not illuminating things, and it's really smart. You turn the lights off, and it goes into that orange mode, and it's really smart about not being bright at night. That's been one of the things that helped me. So no watch charging, no phone charging anymore in that room. I charge the phone down. Since I got the new iPhone, I don't charge it at night. I just, when I'm sitting at the desk, it sits here. When I'm in the car, it's charging, but I don't charge it on my, it's not charging there anymore. Yep. So there's no lights coming on. I do have one. I have a ring extender that's in that room because it's convenient in there. But it's not bright enough that it makes a difference. So that's I've kind of removed all the lights from my room, so they don't.
Yeah, we're pretty good with that. Most of my stuff now, I still sleep with my phone next to my bed because I did use that as my alarm clock.
Yep.
Before I got the ring, there was a sleep app that actually I used as the alarm clock, and it had one of those gentle rings where it would start off really low and then gradually get louder. And then it would track my sleep. Well, the ring is better at it, so I don't use that anymore.
Okay.
But we still go to sleep with the TV on. So that's our next thing.
Yeah, you got to get that. You got to stop watching it so late. Right? Yeah. That's the other thing. On the Amazon site, it says a 10-day battery life. Do you get 10 days of battery life out of that thing?
So I would think most of the time, yes. I just charge it once a week. But I think the longest I've gone is 8 days, and it said, 5% left. It'll run out by the end of, tomorrow or something like that. So
charger look like? What kind of charger?
The charger's just a little black box, and it just sits in. It's like a ring case, it's just as like a little ring case.
How much did you pay for it? What was the?
$299 was the one that
you bought the big one. You bought the good one.
Yeah. Okay. And I would encourage you, so there is a ring kit that you just get ahead of time. I think it's like $1.99 where it comes with all the ring sizes. So you just get that, wear one of them that feels comfortable for a couple of days to get used to it. And then $299, one-time purchase.
Okay. Yeah, one time, one and you're done. So far, worth it for you?
I would say yes, only because of the sleep apnea thing.
Yeah,
that's probably something
I need to get at the bottom. Yeah. You need to get to the bottom of that. Yeah. That can cause some health.
Yeah. Issues, the other stuff, I'll be honest, because I know that I'm never going to go back to counting my steps.
Yeah.
I'm done with being active and an athlete and stuff. I played basketball you know, almost 50 years. I do like the fact that it tracks the sleep. I like the fact that it tracks the stress, and it does track vital signs. So it will give me my heart rate, my oxygen level, whatever this HRV, I've got to look up and see what it is, skin temperature, respiratory rate. So it checks all that stuff. So I think probably this will be a good purchase overall health-wise.
Yeah, I think so. The question will be, how long does it last? You know, from a usage standpoint,
right.
It's a little tiny battery in there. I'm sure it's not replaceable. No, you know,
you can't take anything out of it. There's a couple of little sensors at the bottom, you know, that go into the, but that's it. It's not like you.
Blood pressure. Does it do blood pressure?
It does.
That'd be amazing if it did. That'd be incredible.
I don't think it does blood pressure.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it did. But heart rate, for sure.
Yeah, vital signs.
Right. Gives listening, me the, is it listening for you snoring at night? Or is it? Does it know that based on your heart rate type thing?
Okay, so total time asleep. So it actually, okay, here we go. Awake, REM, light sleep, deep sleep, heart rate, HRV, skin temperature, respiratory rate, oxygen.
It's got an O2 sensor in there. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay. Well, yeah, that's
it does not. No, it does not. Does not track snoring.
I would not think it would have a listening device in there. That your phone does, right? If you have an iPhone, you can, there are apps that you can do, and I think your watch can too. I think what's scary? Use one of those apps on your phone for a night and then, like, go back and listen. Like, it's like, hey, we recorded you snoring. That's frightening.
So the app on the phone that I used to have, it's called Sleep Cycle.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does a lot of that stuff, and it would track snoring. And it actually records, but you can't play it unless you pay for it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's frightening.
But it has a cough radar.
Frightening. Yeah. Yep.
Coughing, cough radar, ambient noise, respiratory rate, and snoring.
Yeah. Yeah. It's alarming when you listen to those. You're just like, what? You know what's also alarming? Like, and I don't know if he can do it anymore, but there was a time with the A-Lady device, the Amazon devices. You could go in somewhere, I forget where this was, and listen to the last 10 or 20 voice commands that you gave it. And you could listen to yourself talking to the and it was so funny because I caught the missus whispering to it, you know, or like, yeah, turn off the, you know, like really like the first thing in the morning, right? Kind of things. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is frightening how it's record. I mean, we know this, right?
Yeah,
we know it's recording you. And so it was a little alarming to know, like, I went back and listened to those. And it was just, I laughed a lot when I heard all the various commands that you'd give it, or the frustrating commands that you give it when it doesn't do exactly what we have recently changed the name. Sarah has been home. And so she changed the name of some of the assistants around. So they would, because I would say, hey, A-Lady, play this music. And the A-Lady in the other room, you know, down the hall, would start playing it. We're like, oh, no, not you. The one that's in the kitchen. Like, we're right here. Why are you not picking it up? So we did, you know, we changed one to computer and one to the various, I should stop saying what the words are, because they're starting to trigger people's stuff. But so we changed all those recently. And you get frustrated at them. You don't realize how much you yell at them when they don't do the right thing, you know. So, hey, last topic before we go for the night. This is actually near and dear to my heart. You've been looking at kind of power strips, and then you also have like power strips, surge protectors, but you've got a cable tester as well. And I freaked out when you first showed me that, because There isn't a cable that today, in today's world, I don't know what cables do anymore. Like, I just buy them, but there's different voltages and right different settings and used for different things. And you're like, oh no, that's the 43 volt cable. You should have got the 25 volt cable. Like what? What does that even mean? I don't know. Talk about that.
So I did it based on the fact that I had so many USB cables sitting around my office. And I went to go grab one to charge up one of my network testers because I had purchased, as you said, these power strips with USB things. And rather than always having to pull out the AC adapter, blah, 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 I would just plug in cables. Well, I never knew which cable delivered which power delivery. Most of them, you know, the 20, but most of the devices have to be at 65 watts and then they have 100 watts and blah, blah, blah. And you're supposed to be able to tell by the color of the USB cable.
Right.
But as you can see, like here's one where I have a splitter.
I'll get you full screen here.
There's no colors.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no colors on that thing.
So what I did was I said, first I bought a big cable tester, which we're not going to talk about, but I bought this thing here, which is a USB cable tester. And on each side, you can plug in all the different USB cables. And you can do micro USB, USB AB, USB C. And then it will tell you, and I've got it on battery mode. You can also power through a regular cable.
By the way, $20 for this thing, right? Not terribly expensive. Yeah. Right?
So on one side, I put in the cable there, and here's one. Get this in. And so,
holy cow,
but basically this is a cable that will only run about 20 watts because it's only, 2, 4, 6 connectors. But if I plug in this other one, it lights up a whole different set of lights. And this is a splitter. So I know that this one will just power things like my phone, you know, the little stuff. This one will actually power up my network devices. So I was trying to find the chart to tell me which,
you need like a program to be able to, to decipher what those things mean, right?
I mean,
it's insane. What's going, how did we get to this point, Marv? Cables take, like, you have to study Egyptian hieroglyphics to really understand what's going on.
So here's a regular black USB. If it's plugged in, and as you can see, it only has, it's got 8 as well, but they're only like 4 ABAB. So that's, this is one of the lower ends of the cables. So this was something I got, so I did not bring over. I was trying to find a cable that would light up.
Chat room, I've thrown the links to both of these in the chat room if you want to see them now. And if you're listening to the live podcast, hit the show notes. We'll have the links to those over there if you want to see. Not bad for a $20 tester. I'd have to study.
If I plug in a Bose cable, it lights up like 12 out of the lights in there. So I'm like, okay, those are good cables. And I've only found one cable that would light up more than that. And when you get, the more lights you have, the more power delivery you get on your cable. So this is come in handy.
Yeah, well, we all have like 10,000 cables in drawers. And we, Sarah recently, with her being home after surgery, she's been spending time just cleaning out drawers. She actually put a whole like grocery bag together of all the extra cables. She sent a note around to the kids. She's like, hey, if anybody needs cables, I've got this and that and this and that. She didn't test them like you did, but.
Well, I did it. So I said, okay, anything less than 8, throw away.
You recycle them? You take them like to Best Buy and drop them off, or you just toss them?
So yes, we take that, we take batteries and some other stuff that she basically will gather up stuff every other month or so. She'll go and drop stuff off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's a good idea. That's it's $20. You got a fancier one though, too, right?
Yeah, I got a big boy. Did you? Did I give you the link for that one?
You did. I'll go ahead and do you have it?
You have it. I don't have it. I don't have it here with me.
Let me hold on. What you're talking about? Let me bring.
Can I get a picture of it?
I think I can share my screen and while you're doing it here. But what'd you get? Talk about it.
So this one, it's basically I got this because not only is it a network tester, but I got it really because it's an audio cable tester. Oh. So all of these mic cables that we have as podcasters,
including I had XLRs, right?
This yes. will test XLRs. And okay. I did it for that particular reason. Yeah. It also will test USB cables, network cables, wow. The 15-in-1, like it says.
Yeah. MFL is there's a picture of it on the video. If you want to watch it, I'll have a link in the show notes. If you want to check it. $60. It's not super expensive for this.
No, but for all the different uses that I had with it, I mean, yeah. HDMI cables, how many HDMI cables do we have just laying around the house? And we just, you know, few. We don't, if we get yeah. one and we swap them out or whatever, but this thing, it's like a universal tester. That I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get it. Those 3.5-inch millimeter audio cables, it's there as well. The banana cables at the bottom, it tests everything.
Got some storage in there. Oh, that's bad. Is that?
That's for a 9-volt battery.
That's crazy. This is like the Swiss Army knife of testers.
Yep.
Right. I mean, so you got XLR, we're showing XLR. You got line in on that. Is that MIDI at the on the very right there? Yep. That's crazy. And then this is for the other side, right? So you plug it into one side, come around and plug it in the other.
Correct.
Test it out. Does it test just working or not? Or will it give you a degraded, if it's degraded in some way, will it tell you that?
So there is a code to where you see where it has in the LEDs in the middle, the 1 through 10, yeah. and then 11 through 20, the second
yeah.
row.
Yeah.
There are cables where it will give you a range of usage, just kind of like the other USB test that I gave you. Mm-hmm. It'll tell you how good of a cable it is. But I think things like the XLR, it's just good or bad.
PS2. It has a PS2 port in here.
I wasn't going to say that.
That is crazy. That is awesome. This is the Radio Shack of testers.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, quarter inch cables up top, RCA cables.
Yeah.
It is yeah. just, yeah.
It's got a.
The funny thing is, I have all these cables. I mean, I've got a box of RCA cables.
Right there. That is awesome. That is an incredible. We're showing, if you're not catching this, head over to the video and watch it. But you've got some. I mean, you kind of got everything. Like for $60, that's not bad at all. That is not bad at all.
And it's a quick tester too. So, I mean, I probably went through, I don't know, 100 cables one Saturday that I decided, let me just sit here. I think I was watching the podcast, Ask the Podcast Coach.
There you go. Saturday morning. Yeah,
I'm just throwing cables just and
tested them out. It's a good multitasking. Did you find any bad ones?
I did.
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
Some network cables specifically.
Yeah. That would be great. Yeah. So on that device, it's got a jack on either side, right? You just plug one into one and the other side into the other and
yep.
run the test and
that's
see
it.
What it does. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You just flip the knob to whichever test it is. Boom, lights up. I mean, it's quick.
That's awesome.
It's not as fancy as the other testers where it'll, you know, go out and grab an IP address and test all of that stuff. But get a good idea if it, you know, is it good or not?
Yeah. Well, and on network cables, like, you try to read the, you know, you're like, okay, is this a Cat 5? Is it Cat 5e? Is this Cat 6? You know, and I've got so many cables from that generation, you know, and I'm still, you know, gigabit Ethernet here. So for the most part, you know, I'm not trying to get 2.5 or 5 gig out of this. So I haven't gone up, but I'm sure I've got old cables in here that are just like terrible, you know,
that should probably
get thrown away.
Yeah, but see, I would go through where if we do a network refresh on an office, you know, we just replace all the cables. So I would come back, we'd have bins of cables.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, when I got this, it was for my nephew to give him something to do coming in on a weekend and say, look, go through this box of cables and just keep the good ones. And, you know, half the cables, yeah, they work, but they're bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't replace them unless somebody complains. No,
and there's no good way to test them. Like you plug them in. It's not like every PC is like, oh, that cable is bad.
Right.
You know, you don't know. And the whole time you could be having, you know, degraded service. You'd have no idea, you know, in there if it's not working right. Along those same lines, and we'll wrap it with this, along those same lines, Marv, like these surge protectors have gotten out of hand. Like, you know, right now you can get surge protectors, just electrical. Some got USB coming out of it. Some have USB-C coming out of it. You got one there. Show what we're looking at there. What do you got in your hand there?
So this was one I just got, and I wanted it to upgrade the ones that I carry. So I carry this with my podcast gear now so that I can plug in. See, it's got, this one actually has six regular electrical outlets. And then it's got four of the old style AB USBs. And then it's got four USB-Cs. Two of the USB-Cs are just regular 20 watt power. Two of them are 65 watts so that I can plug in all of my stuff. I've got my Rode wireless mics that have to charge.
Yep.
I can plug them in here. I can plug my laptop in. And I just wanted to get stuff where I could plug in everything into one device and have enough power to do all that stuff. Because a lot of the older strips, you know, they 2.4. I mean, that's all they're giving you.
2.4 amps, right, on those.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I got to find, and I did a lot of research now. This one is, 100 watt total with a 2,000 joule surge protector. Okay. So that was why I got this one.
Right on. Yeah, what's interesting is our smaller devices have started drawing more power.
Yes.
You know? And where in the early days, your small devices were low power. Now, laptops, even phones for quick charging, you know, which isn't great for your phone, by the way. The quick charging, shouldn't you quick charge your phone every time? No. You might want to slow down on the quick charging. But it's really, really interesting that with the USB-C, this is where I get the most confused. It, especially with the cables and the plugs, you had some orange ones in there and some, I think they were blue.
Blue, yes.
Yeah, blue and orange. And they have different voltages. And we're supposed to know that. Like, we're supposed to know those. Like, oh, yeah, that's the orange one. And at least with USB, you know, we tried to do this with USB where they made them blue, right? They were black before. And then when we went to USB 2 or 3 or whatever it was, they're like, oh, it's blue. So now you know. Then they tried to keep that color thing going. It didn't work.
No.
Sorry. It didn't work.
But on here, so just so that the dark blue is your regular, but this one here is 15 watts on the USB-A.
Yeah.
So that's 15 watts. So that's more than what you get on your regular stuff. It's actually green. This section
the
here.
USB-C ones. Yeah.
So this is 20 watts. The orange is 65 watts each.
Yeah. And that's fast charging for your phone, right?
Yes.
65 watts.
Well, I actually got this.
Or a laptop.
You know what's funny? I got this because technically I'm supposed to be able to power my Rodecaster Duo with just a cable.
Oh, okay.
Which it did for a day, but then it stopped working. And I'm like,
oh, no.
So I used the regular.
Don't do that again.
Yeah, I used the regular power for that.
Yeah. So, yeah, listen, at anything over 50 watts, I would run it. If it's got a plug, I'd run it through a plug instead of a cable. That's not a lot of, those wires are still pretty small.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, I've, I've seen some 135 watt cables, you know, that are Lenovo does this, where they think it's an orange square. They have their own proprietary thing. It's like 135 watts. And you're like, that doesn't seem like it's thick enough for that kind of, you know, for that kind of power draw on a regular basis. What do you show me there?
I can charge my networking tools with just the cable.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, right on. Right on. That's it's a good thing to have. This is an area, even at Menards, which is our big box, you know, it's our Lowe's or Home Depot.
Okay.
Menards here in the Midwest. They're out of Wisconsin. Their extension cords and surge protector section out of control. Like you go in there and you're like, I have no idea what I'm buying. I don't know. And that's the average consumer is screwed when it comes to this. They're like, I know it's got USB. I see some square things and some round things, and I'm just going to plug this stuff in. Nobody really knows what those things are.
No, they don't.
No, nobody me. Nobody knows. Nope. You don't even know.
I don't know. So I just tell people just blue or green. Just get blue or green because black is the lower end.
Yeah.
Black and white, if I remember the color thing, white and black are like the 2.4 and the 5. So you really want, I probably shouldn't have said it that way, right? You don't want black and white. you want to be colored, blue, green.
I understand orange. Where you're going with this. When it comes to power cables, that's what you want to. As a side note, I saw a little news brief the other day. Apparently, you know how, like at gas stations, people were replacing the credit card
scanner
thing, and so scammers. Apparently, at airports now, people are replacing the USB ports. And when you're plugging your phone in, have you heard about this?
Yeah, I heard about that a few years ago. Oh, I carry my own plugs.
Own charger? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably smart. Probably.
Yeah, smart. The USB jacking was what they were doing.
Okay, so it's not new.
No.
This is the first time I really even thought about it. I don't, when I'm at an airport, I don't use the airport charger. So I was like, I too carry, I've got a couple batteries that I carry. Although that's getting harder and harder with TSA to get some of those batteries through, right?
So, well, the bigger the battery, the harder it is. So, for instance, like the ones that I carry are usually 4,000 milliwatt amps or whatever they are.
Hours, yeah.
That's fine. And I think you can go up to like 70.
Okay.
Which, I mean, most battery packs are not going to be that high.
Yeah.
So most of the small ones are going to be good because I did do a check. It's got to be under 100 amps or whatever it is.
I think it's 100 watt hours. I think
that's
what it is, something like that.
Yeah. So that was it. But I do carry a 4,000 power pack, but then I also keep a plug, the actual plug into the wall with both USB-A and USB-C connectors. And that's what I plug in.
Okay. Yeah. You don't have a pen tester device that you plug in before you go to it to be like, is this thing hacked?
To the electrical outlet?
Or no, to the USB ports that are in the airports. I always thought it'd be fun to go around and see. Remember when, well, you probably didn't do this, but there was a period where you'd go around, drive around and see whose Wi-Fi networks were unsecure.
Oh yeah. The war driving,
is that what they called it? Yeah. And so I always thought, well, maybe I'll go to Epley. That's our airport. Maybe I'll go to Epley and see if there's any compromised ports out there. Put a little, you know, create a device that would see if they've been compromised.
Yeah. That's when you do that. And then you'd also have the scanner.
Yeah.
So if you could see if there were any open PC anywhere ports back in the day. Remember those?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, good stuff. How insecure Wi-Fi was and still not that secure, to be 100% honest, but I think we've gotten a little bit better with it. Well, Marv, thanks for spending some time with me tonight, and thanks for coming on, and sorry again for blowing you off a couple weeks ago.
That's all right.
But appreciate you saying yes again and coming back in. What's coming up on your podcast, IT Business Podcast. There you go. Thank you.
So we've got a couple of different series. So I just got back from the Apple conference. So we will be releasing those episodes. I did 6 interviews while I was there.
Cool.
So those people will be interviewed, talking about the conference, talking about some business stuff. Then I've got a series running the entire month of May called Money, Marketing, and Growth. And that is specifically for IT business owners, managed service providers, all about marketing, all about money in the business, kind of like the conference was. And then in June, we're going to be doing a vendor series called Pitch It. So every year they bring in new vendors to the space and there's a competition to, you know, help get them exposed to MSPs. Here's some new vendors. Here's what they do. I interview each of the contestants for that contest. So I'll have 22 interviews of brand new vendors in the space.
Awesome. Awesome. You can get that right now, itbusinesspodcast.com. Find it on your favorite podcast player. You probably want to head out and listen to it. And make sure it's Uncle Marv's IT Business Podcast when you're referring to it, because that matters. So, Marv, thanks for hanging out. And thanks for hanging out with us on Saturday mornings on Ask the Podcast Coach. Always good to see you out there and adding value while you're testing your cables. Anyways, can you hang out with me as I close it up? Is that okay?
I sure can, yep.
Couple reminders on the way out. Don't forget, you can, don't forget this platform, web hosting, both web and media hosting powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from folks that you know and you trust. And of course, you know that's Christian. He was out here today. Christian, thanks for coming out. Good to see you. Good to see you in the chat room. MapleGrovePartners.com is his address. I think they still got plans for $10. He'll set you up. He'll do it right. He's such a good guy. And you want to check it out over there. Again, if you're purchasing on Amazon, head out to theaverageguy.tv. Just click through the link. Join us on Patreon, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. Thanks for listening. You know, Marv, I don't know how often, like, we do this thing. There's a couple people out in chat. And so, you know, you just do this thing hoping folks will listen. And then you look at your download statistics and you're like, that's not bad.
Yeah.
So, right? You know, you're like, okay. Thanks. So I just want to say thanks for listening. If you made it this far in the podcast, you're 1% of the folks that listen. Most people, as soon as I do the Maple Grove Partners ad, everybody cuts it off. They're like, all right, he's done. I'm out of here. If you made it here, thanks for being out. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. I'm in a busy spot at work, and so I'm not sure what's coming up for you. Just a lot of things going on. You know, you have those times, right? You have those times when things get busy, and so we'll be planning things as we go. But for those of you joining us live, thanks. For those listening, hopefully you're caught up by now. I mean, it's May 14th. Check your date. If you're a couple weeks behind, it's okay.
I was going to say, Jim was off for a couple of weeks, so yeah.
I was.
Not like me. I'm still putting out stuff even when I'm not here. So
listen, I used to do that, and then like last week, I had 4 9 p.m. calls in a row, like through the week, including Thursday, which is why I didn't do this. That's getting more common. I need to settle that stuff down. That, you know, it's not terrible, but it wears on you after a while.
Yeah, but
you know?
You're a global company, so
we are global. And I'm doing a lot more. I'm doing a lot more with our teams in Asia, and of course that's prime time for them. So it's like, okay, well, I'm awake. I mean, I'm sitting around goofing around with open clock. So it's, you know, I might as well take the call. We're live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern. Now here's the average guy at TV/live. Appreciate you joining us, those folks that are live. Appreciate you listening. If you're listening to the recorded version, with that, we'll say goodbye.
Holla.
Welcome to Gadget Geeks, where the screens glow bright and the Wi-Fi peaks. If you're looking for the tech talk you can actually keep, then settle on in with Home Gadget Geeks.